thank you all for being here, and thank you all for being part of this class, which I'm just tremendously excited about. This is actually the first class, actual official class, I've given on Kundalini for about 15 years. It's one of my favorite subjects, and one thing that I've been realizing as the day has gone on is that the deepest quality of Kundalini, both as a force within us and as a subject of conversation, is that she really is about love. So I find that exciting because when I begin talking about her, I begin experiencing Kundalini's love. We'll say more about this later, but Kundalini is a form of the primordial Shakti of the universe, and the nature of the primordial Shakti is love and bliss. I used to find when my guru would often give a weekend program on love, that was the title of the program, and whenever he gave that program on love, I would experience all the parts of myself that were unlove, that were not love. It was almost as though the word itself brought up the opposite. But whenever we would have a program on Kundalini, I would begin to experience all that love. So I hope that's your experience. And I want to tell you now the other reason that I'm giving this class on Kundalini. It's because I get so many questions from people who are experiencing awakened Kundalini and who either don't understand it or find it strange or mysterious or wish that it was not going so strongly or that it was going more strongly. And what I've discovered over the years, you know, ever since I've been answering people's questions on Kundalini, and often they come from people I've never met, is that the most important thing about practicing with an awake Kundalini is to understand what's going on. When you understand what's going on, then you really understand the extraordinary miracle, there's really no other word for it, of how this energy works in your life. And when you don't understand it, you often ignore it or misinterpret or misunderstand, or you actually forget to honor it. I'm calling Kundalini it for the moment, but as we go on, I'm going to begin calling Kundalini her, because this is one of the ways in which we're going to discuss Kundalini and understand Kundalini and practice with Kundalini, is by recognizing that Kundalini is not only the evolutionary energy of your own self, your own soul, she is also a goddess. And she's a she. So the more we actually allow ourselves to experience her as a she, the more we have the opportunity to actually begin to come in contact with the quality of Kundalini Shakti as a friend, as a beloved, as a guide, as well as an aspect of yourself. So without Kundalini, I would, I imagine, still be living an ordinary life, wondering why I wasn't happy. Without Kundalini, none of us would be able to realize the divine potential of what each of us uniquely is. Without Kundalini, meditation would be dry. Your unique genius would be undiscovered and untapped. Kundalini is the force of all forms of creative self-actualization. And she's described in mystical traditions all over the world. Perhaps the most telling and graphic descriptions of Kundalini are in the not only the tantric scriptures, the tantric texts, but also in some of the texts of Hatha Yoga, such as the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and the Shiva Sutra, the Shiva Samhita. And these texts say things like, without the grace of Kundalini, liberation is impossible. So these texts are very clear about the importance of Kundalini. The text of Kashmir Shaivism, which is what we're going to focus on today, have, let's say, a broader understanding of what Kundalini is. They understand Kundalini really in her highest and broadest manifestations. And I would like tonight to actually describe her first in her highest manifestation, because it really helps the process to get that. So we'll be speaking about Kundalini both from the experiential point of view tonight and also from the point of view of Kashmir Shaivism. We'll speak about awakening and what awakening is and what is awakened when Kundalini awakens. We'll locate her in the body. We'll meditate, of course, and we'll practice some classical meditations for contacting her. You'll get homework assignments for meditation this week and one for contemplating your own experience, the experience of your inner body as she relates, as your body relates to Kundalini. And in the weeks to come, we'll be looking at the ways in which Kundalini changes us, at how we each experience Kundalini, at the path as it unfolds psychologically, physically, and spiritually as she moves in our body. And hopefully we'll clear up a lot of questions and mysteries about the Kundalini Shakti. I want to also stress the importance of doing the practices. I'm going to ask you to meditate for at least 15 or 20 minutes a day. You'll also be getting a breathing practice that would be great to do for at least 5 minutes a day. And as you do this practice, some of you will be familiar with it, some of you won't, but you'll find that as you do this practice, it will really become more and more embodied and embedded, and you'll experience a lot of health benefits as well as mystical benefits from doing it. So what I would suggest is that even if you're really busy right now, which I know a lot of people are, even if you're listening to the call 3 or 4 or 5 days after the original call, which I know a lot of you are, I really want to encourage you to practice the meditation and the breathing practice. First of all, because it will allow Kundalini to give you the gift that she will give you as we invoke her. It's one of the great mysteries of the Kundalini Shakti, is that when we talk about her, when we honor her, when we discuss her, she likes it. And she begins to give you gifts in meditation. So you don't want to not meditate, because as you meditate, you really are putting yourself in the position to receive these gifts. So we're going to chant now, and we're going to chant with Krishna Das. So you can find yourself in a posture that will allow you to sit for a few minutes, because after the chant and after we've done our offering, we're also going to sit for our first short meditation before we continue. So as you take your posture, remember that you want, if you're sitting on the floor, you want your hips and thighs to be slightly higher than your knees. You want your back to be upright, and this is really important in a Kundalini class, because it's very helpful to Kundalini as she moves in the Sushumna Nadi, in the spinal column, to have a posture that actually makes it easier for her to flow up and down. And you can breathe in and allow the lower body to ground and sink into the seat. Exhale and allow your torso to rise up through the crown. Feel that your chest lifts and opens and your shoulder blades come onto the back. If you have your chanting sheets, that will be helpful. And if not, you can listen and sing along as we chant the mantras that invoke the power of wisdom, love, and awareness that resides in the primordial guru. These verses, these lines, invoke the inner teacher as Shiva. They describe that inner teacher as having the form of pure awareness, pure bliss, pure love, and pure being, Satchit Ananda, as peaceful, clear, without support, as the inner teacher or guide who functions within every one of us to lead us through the experiences that will take us more and more deeply into contact with ourself, with our inner divinity. Happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that we know the equanimity beyond hatred, grasping, and dullness, and that we experience the equality of all that lives. I'm going to sing a verse from the Kundalini Stavaha, the hymn to Kundalini, really for the sake of invoking her. And next week, you'll have copies of it so we can chant together. So I will sing the Sanskrit, and then I'll give you the translation, line by line. Janmodara nirikshani hataruni vedadi bijadima nityam chetasi bhavyate puvikada Sadvakya Sancharini Mampatu Priyadasa Bhavakapadam Sankataye Shri Dara Dhatri Twam Swayam Adi Deva Vanita Dinati Dinam Pashum. Kula Kundalini is always looking for opportunities to redeem us from the cycle of birth and death. She is ever young. She is the origin of all scriptures as well as of the letters of power. In this world, yogis apprehend her through the mind. Sometimes she exists in the words of saints. Let that auspicious one protect us so that we may attain union. I consider myself to be her beloved servant. My guru, who was known not only for awakening Kundalini, but also for being highly knowledgeable about how to guide Kundalini, was once asked why it was that people experienced such sweet Kundalini awakenings around him. He said, "It's because we worship Kundalini as a goddess. We love her, and therefore she is sweet to us." What he was saying was a very subtle and powerful truth, and it is actually the difference between the tantric, let's say the Eastern understanding of Kundalini, and the understanding that's prevailed in the modern West, where she's seen as a biological energy or as more of a psychological force. But when you recognize Kundalini as a goddess and as the intelligence of the self, and you recognize the fact that both of these mystical secrets are real and true, then our whole relationship with Kundalini Shakti is really inspired and vitalized by this recognition. So as we begin our meditation, let's just have the awareness that we are invoking the microcosmic form of the great energy, the Shakti, the creative power that has become everything in the universe, every cell, every planet, every star, that she is living within us, that she is literally bringing in the breath, making the heart beat, giving us the power of speech, playing as emotions, as thoughts. And with this recognition, allow yourself to feel that the breath is flowing in through the power of Kundalini Shakti. And with the next inhalation, see if you can bring your attention down to the base of the spine to find the place just in front of the base of the spine. The little knob of flesh that lies between the anus and the sexual organ. And to feel that from this, within this little knob of flesh, there is a coiled light, a tiny spring of silvery golden light, shimmering, as the verse says, like thousands of pale moonbeams, millions of pale moonbeams. And imagine this energy coiled 3.5 times its head upward. And see if you can just become aware of the presence of this energy at the base of your spine. And with a sense of the presence of Kundalini there, now begin to connect the base of your spine, the Muladhara chakra, this place of the root of the Kunda, as it's called. Begin to connect it to the earth. And you can do this by imagining that a line of light, similar to the light of Kundalini, the light of the coiled Kundalini, is flowing from your Muladhara, from this place just in front of the base of the spine, down through the floor, through the chair, if you're sitting on a chair, through the floor, through the foundation of the building, down into the earth. And you allow that laser of light, that laser of energy, to flow as deeply into the earth as you can. You're letting that energy ground itself in the earth. And bringing your attention back up to the kunda at the base of the spine. Again, sensing the presence of this spring of light coiled 3.5 times. Feel as though this energy, this coiled light, begins to rise through the center of your body as if it were rising just in front of the spinal column. And with the first inhalation, you draw it up into the center of the pelvic bowl. And exhale and feel the energy there in the region of the second chakra. Inhale and allow that thread of energy to flow up into the area around your navel. And exhale, feeling the energy of the navel enlivened by the breath and the presence of Kundalini. Inhale, feel that the energy is drawn up into the center of the chest behind the breastbone. And exhale, feeling the energy spreading through your heart center. Inhale and draw the energy up to the base of the throat. Exhale and allow it to spread through your throat. Inhale, allowing the energy of Kundalini to rise up into the center of the head. Exhale and feel the light spreading through your head. Inhale now, and this time let the sense of the energy fall down to the throat. Exhale and feel it spreading through the throat. Inhale and allow the energy, that light energy, to descend into the heart. And now as you inhale and exhale, see if you can feel the heart energy opening, softening. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. We're going to be practicing this particular meditation in different ways over the course of this week. And as you practice it, it'll become more and more natural for you, and you will begin to be able to experience your inner body in a much more intimate way. So at this moment, perhaps we're experiencing Kundalini Shakti, mostly located in the heart, or perhaps our energy is mostly located in the heart. But let's start now with some of the basics, some of the very basic understanding about what Kundalini is. The Sanskrit word kunda means a bowl, specifically the bowl or pot in which sacred fire is kindled. Lini means coiled. It's a feminine form of the word coiled, and Kundalini is therefore the coiled one who resides in the kunda, literally in the bowl, in the fire bowl at the base of the spine, inside the pelvic bowl. Kundalini is sometimes called the serpent power because she coils herself three times as a snake does. And when Kundalini is coiled, she manifests both as the life force energy, the energy that keeps us alive, and also as the sexual energy. Her seat is in the subtle body, inside the Muladhara chakra, although when she's awakened, she can be awakened in really any center of the body. But Kundalini at rest lives in the Muladhara chakra, in the subtle form of the perineum, which is, in fact, the physical kunda, the root support. And in that place, Kundalini is very much connected to earth, to the earth energy. The way the story is told in the mythic version of our relationship to Kundalini is that when the primordial Shakti has manifested the entire physical universe, she comes to rest in the center of the earth. And in the human body, she comes to rest in the root chakra, which is connected with the element of earth. And from there, she functions as the prana. There's a beautiful analogy about prana, which I like very much. If you imagine that Kundalini inside the kunda is fire. She gives off, the fire gives off a breath, gives off smoke, but especially gives off a kind of heat energy, and that heat energy is prana. The prana is like the steam from Kundalini, and the prana moves throughout our bodies. It moves through the whole universe, in fact, but it moves specifically in our bodies through the system of channels known in Sanskrit as nadis. And there are, depending on which scripture you read, either 72,000 or 720 million channels, nadis, inside the body through which prana moves. And of course, they correspond to the meridians in Chinese medicine. Three of the nadis are especially important, and those are the Ida and Pingala nadis, which run on both sides, which actually kind of chase each other up the spinal column in an entwined pattern around the Sushumna nadi, which is the central channel that runs up the very center of the body and which we've been beginning to presence in our first meditation. So the Sushumna nadi, which runs from the base of the spine, from the kunda, up through the crown of the head, is the pole. It's like the magnetic pole of the human body, and it corresponds to the axis of the earth. In fact, the Hopi Indian tradition has a description of the relationship of microcosm and macrocosm, which is so close to the tantric description, that it's quite uncanny. It's one of the Book of the Hopi says that the human body is constructed like the earth, and that the axis that runs, that keeps the earth, the pole that keeps the earth on its axis is the spinal column in the human body. And then along the spinal column, there are centers of energy, which of course we know as the chakras, and the Hopis clearly did too. So I want to say one more thing about Kundalini. And again, this is Kashmir Shaivism. I'm not going to speak about the philosophical aspects of this tradition very much, but I want us to get clear about it. The Shaiva and Shakta traditions of India actually offer an overview of our experience of Kundalini, which is incredibly useful as we approach this process. And, you know, as most of you know, in the tantric traditions, reality, divine reality, is two-sided. It's one, but this one has two aspects, which are called Shiva and Shakti. Shiva is pure, unmediated presence, pure being, the ground of everything, and Shakti is the power and the love within everything. In some of the tantric traditions, there's a representation of the Shiva-Shakti relationship, which shows Shiva, the yogi deity, whom most of you know at least by reputation or at least from seeing his picture, is lying prone on the ground. And the goddess Kali, whom again most of us know from by reputation or through her pictures, the goddess Kali is dancing on top of him. She's wearing a garland of skulls, and she's carrying a spear and a head, and around her waist is an apron of hands, which represent her powers. The skulls actually represent the 52 letters of the Sanskrit alphabet. The head represents the limited ego, which she has sliced off with her sword. And she's dancing ecstatically, representing the way in which the Shakti, the dynamic aspect of the divine, is not only the creative power, but is the power that makes everything happen in the universe, while Shiva, the masculine, represents the ground of consciousness itself. So in Western terms, in Western language, we could say that Shakti is the Eros, the divine love, the ecstatic urgency to manifest, to create, that leaps up in bliss in the heart of reality. And she vibrates. Vibration is her nature. Rhythm is her nature. Dance is her nature. She vibrates into existence as the Big Bang, as stars and solar systems and land masses and rocks and trees and unicelled creatures and lizards and sea anemones and fish and mammals and human beings. And she lives in every cell of the universe, as we said before. And in just, there's a great metaphor for the relationship of Shakti and everything else that I just came across. And it has to do with the relationship of the river to electrical power. You know, a river flows, it contains energy. If you dam the river, the energy can be used to power a generator. When energy flows through the generator, it's called kinetic energy. And that kinetic energy, run through wires, generates electrical energy. That electrical energy, of course, will power your lights, your heat, your internet connections, your telephone, and allows us to talk to each other. So the same energy that flows as the river also powers your lights. And in the same way, it's the same Shakti, the same original Shakti that flows through every atom in the universe and is at the heart of everything that happens in this physical and subtle world. So, and when Shakti, when this creative energy has fully manifested, it's said that she then separates, she creates a state of separation from her own essence, from Shiva, and takes her seat at the base of the spine while Shiva, the pure being, ground consciousness of the universe, takes seat in the crown of the head. You know, this is the mythic story, the mythic version of the experience of separation, which is part of the process that human beings undergo when we take birth in this world. And Shakti operates from this place to produce greater and greater complexity, more and more differentiation. She powers our brain and nervous system, works through our physical brain and nervous system to give us the experience of that there is a world outside us, that we are separate from the world. Brain science actually reminds us that the experience of separation is literally the product of our wiring. So for most of us, during our journey in the world, the evolutionary energy, the Shakti, has been manifesting to give us the experience of limitation, separation, of, you know, intense mental activity, the experience of being separate from our own source and from each other, and especially to give us the experience that we need to get power from the outside world. This state of, let's call it, managed separation, in other words, literally unchangeable separation. In other words, no matter how many times you tell yourself everything is consciousness or I am one with everything, it's not going to be your experience as long as the force of the cosmos is making you see me and you as separate, and you and your telephone as separate, and you and nature as separate. And we all know the consequences of this, the way this affects our experience in the world. But so Kundalini at rest in the body, asleep in the body, asleep in the base of the spine, runs our life as separate individual beings. She runs our life through the prana. The awakening of Kundalini is actually the activation of the capacity of our inner Shakti, this microcosmic form of the creative energy of the universe. It's the activation of the power that will enable us to once again have the experience of fundamental unity. And one of the reasons why the yoga texts consider it of primal importance to awaken Kundalini is because unless the Shakti that has limited us, it has limited itself in order to experience separation through us, that unless that Shakti makes the decision, essentially, to change the way we experience the world, we won't be able to really know ourselves for what we are. So the activation of Kundalini, which happens in a number of ways and which we're going to discuss in a moment, the activation of Kundalini is, according to the texts of Shaivism, it is the cosmic turnaround of our lives. The reason that all of you are on the path, the reason all of you are here, the reason every one of you is interested in this subject and interested in your own evolution and your own self-actualization is because in one form or another, Kundalini has awakened in you. If that were not the case, at least this is what the Shaiva scriptures say, the Shaiva texts say, you wouldn't even be the slightest bit interested in inner practice, in inner experience. So let's sit for a moment, allow our posture to stabilize, allow yourself to breathe in down towards the base of the spine, to exhale, feeling the body rise up through the crown. Begin to feel that your breath is coming in and going out naturally on its own, feeling as though you're being breathed by Kundalini Shakti. And allow your attention now to come down to the base of the spine. To imagine or be aware of, or simply let yourself take for granted the presence of this coiled spring of energy in the kunda, the perineum between the anus and the sexual organ. Remember, it's inside the subtle body. And even though we've stirred Kundalini, we've brought our attention to her, we're going to do this a few times. So inhale. Feel the presence of this energy in the perineum, in the Muladhara chakra at the base of the spine. And then as you inhale, feel that this energy arises up into the pelvic bowl, into the area of the second chakra. And this energetic event is happening towards the back of the body, towards the spine rather than towards the front of the belly. And just let yourself breathe in and out with awareness of this part of the body, of the second chakra, of the area. Towards the back, just in front of the base of the spine. Being activated by the breath and the rising awareness of Kundalini. Inhale and feel that your sense of the energy rises up to the solar plexus, just around the area of the navel. And again, inhaling and exhaling, just sense the energy moving around this area. Some of you may have a fairly clear visualization of Kundalini as a spring of energy, and some of you may not visualize it at all. You may simply allow attention and energy to gather now with the Kundalini, the light of Kundalini rising in the solar plexus in the area of the third chakra, and inhaling into the solar plexus. With the exhalation, feel as though this light energy, this now very subtle spring of energy which is moving up through your body, rises to the heart. And again, your awareness is of the back of the heart. Inhale and exhale with the sensation that the energy is flowing in and around the heart area, powered by Kundalini, just in front of the spinal column in the back of the heart. The energy now arises with the inhalation, flowing up into the throat, into the area at the base of the throat. And you experience as you inhale and exhale the energy of breath and the energy of Kundalini Shakti expanding through your throat area. And feel now that the energy arises from the throat into the center of the head as you inhale, and then with the exhalation, you feel the energy of the breath and the energy of Kundalini to flow through your head, rise up through the crown of your head with the next inhalation. And then with the exhalation, feel as though the energy flows like a fountain, as though it rises up through the crown of the head and then overflows down back into the head and begins to flow through the body, through the head, through the neck, through the heart. Back down through the belly. Down into the Muladhara Chakra and the base of the spine. And as you sit for a moment, see if you can feel the energy of your body. Have the sensation as the breath moves. That by activating Kundalini energy through your body, whether in a very subtle way or in a more dramatic way, you've actually allowed your body to be enlivened by the breath and the energy. In the Shaiva tradition, it's said that there's a moment in the life of every human being when our past practices, our longing, our devotion, simply, or the ripening of our karmas, people, different texts disagree about the reasons for it, or simply because the primordial power of the universe, the Shakti, has decided to wake herself up inside you. There's a moment when we actually experience the awakening of our own power to know the truth about ourselves. And this awakening can occur in many, many ways. And I'm going to tell you about them specifically in a moment. My first experience of it happened when I was 27, under the influence of LSD, actually, which seemed to be the case for many people my age. The psychedelic drugs were a huge factor in the awakenings that occurred in people who awakened in the late 60s and early 70s. I've heard told this story before. I was sitting in my living room listening to a Grateful Dead record, and suddenly, without warning, I became aware that everything in the universe is love. I was flooded with love, and I wanted to say that though I had experienced good feelings in the past, I had never experienced love like this. I turned to my boyfriend and said, "Everything is love." And he said, "Haven't you ever taken acid before?" So to him, it was no big deal. To me, it was completely life-changing. And that, I think, is Shaktipat. In other words, that's this experience of Shaktipat literally means descent of cosmic energy, which causes an arising in the human soul, an arising of longing, an arising of devotion, an arising of desire for spiritual practice. That's what happened to me. The experience didn't last. First of all, the acid wore off, but the residue it had left never went away. And it was that moment when the desire for transformation that has guided my life ever since awoke. I'm sure this is true for many of you, that really what the texts of Shaivism say is that the moment when your desire to know the truth, when your desire for yoga, when your interest is awakened, is really the pivotal moment, because it's from that moment that you become open to practice, that you become open to transformation in all of its forms. So that was my first awakening. It happened in the heart. It started me on the journey. After that time, I had a succession of awakenings. The most dramatic happened a couple of years later, and by that time I had been doing fairly consistent spiritual practice. This happened at a workshop being given by a Tibetan master in California. And in that workshop, he gave an instruction which I didn't understand. He said, "Look at the back of your head." And I said to him, "What do you mean, the inside of your back of your head, of the back of your head, or the outside of the back of your head?" And he said, "Find out who's looking." Now, this is, as most of you know, this is a standard self-inquiry question. It comes from Ramana Maharshi. Over the years, I'm sure that many of you have been asked by teachers and others to find out who's looking, to find out who knows you're having this experience, to ask yourself, who is it that's aware that I'm breathing? But in that moment, my entire consciousness shifted, as also can happen when you do this practice. And I found myself in, it was like a field ground shift. My ordinary thinking mind receded to the background, and I was absolute, awake, alert, loving presence. That one lasted for several days. And there were some many, many kind of radical things that happened as a result. The first one was that the practice that I'd been doing, which was a very complex visualization, which had been very hard for me. That was before the days when we understood that in visualizing, you don't actually have to see it. You can just experience the energy. But in this case, the visualization actually started to happen spontaneously. I began to experience feelings like bliss. And then, several weeks later, this enormous experience of purification started, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. That was a genuine Kundalini awakening. And like so many Kundalini awakenings in people who don't understand what's going on, it made me feel not only special, but also intensely confused. And again, part of the reason that we're having this conversation is simply to get clear about what it is that actually happens when the psychological transformation that's created by the awakening of Kundalini Shakti begins to basically reorient your entire system. So, according to the text of Kashmir Shaivism, there are three basic strengths of awakening or of Shaktipat. And there are three places in the body or in our being where Shakti awakens, where Kundalini awakens. So I'll talk about them one by one. The strongest form of Shaktipat, which is called strong awakening, is the kind of thing that happened to Ramana Maharshi and to so many of the great saints of legend, where one minute they're a regular person and the next minute they're completely enlightened. In other words, if you were so fortunate or had the karma to receive that kind of awakening, you would be either fully enlightened instantly or fully enlightened after a very short experience of practice. This is obviously a very unusual form of awakening. It's said in the tradition that this strong Kundalini awakening is the process that makes gurus, that makes great spiritual masters. The second strongest form of awakening is the process that makes strong spiritual students. Students who are serious enough about their practice so that they are actually able to make rapid progress and go deeply within. And the third type of awakening, the least strong, is the kind of awakening that comes to pretty much anybody who gets serious about their spiritual life. So the Shaiva scriptures, Shaiva texts imply that, for example, someone who goes to the Pentecostal church and has a born again revelation is actually experiencing a form of Kundalini awakening. The thing is that he interprets it according to the tradition and according to the level of consciousness that he happens to be in. So if you come from a fundamentalist Christian tradition and you have this kind of awakening, you'll attribute it to the grace of Jesus, and you may even, if you're at a certain level of consciousness, believe that the form of awakening you've experienced is the only possible kind. If you are like many of us and are involved in an Eastern path or in yoga, you'll see it differently. You'll probably recognize it as the awakening of Kundalini. So the way you interpret your inner experience is going to depend on the tradition that you're involved in, and it's also going to depend on where you are in your spiritual journey, on your particular level of consciousness. If you're, for example, somebody who's had a spontaneous Kundalini awakening, which happens to many people in yoga classes or on a massage table, sometimes during a sexual experience, many, many people have a Kundalini experience in circumstances that are not meditative, or not in the presence of a teacher, or in a circumstance where they're likely to be able to find out what's going on. And for people whose Kundalini awakens in this way, without a framework, without a context, without a way to contain and hold the experience, it can often be quite psychologically destabilizing, which is one of the reasons why Kundalini has somehow become a topic that we don't talk about much in the American spiritual community, especially because in the 70s and 80s, a group of psychologists would often meet people who'd had very, very strong energetic experiences on top of a certain amount of psychological woundedness and had a very hard time. So the myth began to take form, and I do believe it is a myth, that there is such a thing as a Kundalini casualty, as somebody who, you know, who's had an awakening and has been in some way made dysfunctional through the awakening. In my experience, and I have had a lot of experience, assuming that someone is relatively stable emotionally, the most important thing about how you have your Kundalini awakening is that you have guidance to understand what it is that's happening and have a context for your experience. If you have a context for the experience, if you understand what Kundalini is and what is actually happening to you, if you understand how to communicate with the energy inside you, I mean, you know, literally how to nurture the energy inside you, then even a very strong awakening is not only not damaging but radically beneficial. The difference between, let's say, a good Kundalini experience and a difficult Kundalini experience is pretty much entirely knowing what it is and having guidance. So part of what is very important to understand about Kundalini is that it's not a personality event. What's happening when Kundalini awakens is that your transpersonal self is coming online. And your transpersonal self, although often very willing to operate through your vehicles, through your mind, you know, your nervous system, your ego, is not bound by any of these. In fact, one of the, let's say, misunderstandings that often arises when Kundalini first awakens is that, you know, because most of us are not completely cooked spiritually, you know, we have our psychological issues, we certainly have egos, and often we're not that conscious of how our egos operate. So what often happens is that the ego begins to identify with the experience, and you know, this can lead us to feeling special and like the only person in the world who ever had this experience, or it can get us scared. So it's very important to realize as you practice with Kundalini that part of what will happen in the process is that the places in you that are uncooked or best will begin to reveal themselves to you. In other words, as Kundalini awakens, one of the symptoms is that for buried anger or buried grief will surface for a while as part of a process of purification. So very often when the energy is moving strongly in us, we'll go through a period when we're amazingly angry or amazingly grief-stricken, and these emotions will come up. And as we're able to ride them, they dissolve. And what I can say from my own experience is that when they dissolve, when a layer of anger or a layer of grief or a layer of pride or some other, difficult or, fixated part of your psyche comes up and dissolves in this way, it is actually gone. Not that all your anger is gone, but this particular piece of your anger is gone. Part of what the Tantra says about Kundalini is that when she rises into the Sushumna Nadi and begins to move up through the body, she doesn't just move upward. she actually moves throughout the body. She moves through all the nadis, all the pranic channels in the body. And as she does this, she will purify your physical body, which is why sometimes one of the symptoms of having Kundalini in the body, and this happens often in these classes, is that you'll experience heat, literally a detox reaction, as some physical impurity or an old disease is removed from the body. And very often when the Shakti is very strong, very powerful, it will bring, your body will ache, your body will shake. These processes of the body shaking are known as kriyas, which is Sanskrit for action, and they're actually movements that Kundalini makes in order to liberate blocks in the body. So there's often an extremely physical experience of purification as Kundalini is moving in the body. And there are also many spiritual experiences, feelings of great bliss, feelings of the energy expanding and arising in your body. People have visions and recite mantras and hear beautiful sounds. So there is a great wealth of experience that can come to you through the process of Kundalini awakening and unfolding. And we're going to talk about some of them as the weeks go on. One of the important things to understand about the way Shakti works in the body is that it works according to our personality, to our karmas, to our psychological and physical nature. And it also works, and this is very mysterious, but very important to understand. It also works according to what we particularly need for rebalancing, and also on what part of our subtle system Kundalini has awakened in. For example, the very classical Kundalini awakening Kundalini is often described as, the Kundalini awakening event is often described as occurring at the base of the spine. The way we used to talk about it during my guru's time is the energy begins to feel very active at the base of your spine, and then it shoots up the center of the body and out the crown of the head. And this, and very often people who had this kind of awakening would literally experience energy shooting up the body in this way. And we are doing a meditation practice that actually is designed to give us the experience of Kundalini moving up the Sushumna. But this is not the only way that Kundalini is activated. The awakening of Kundalini at the base of the spine is known in Kashmir Shaivism as the awakening of Prana Kundalini. It is actually a form of biological Kundalini, interestingly enough, because it's one of its main activities is to purify the physical system. The Kundalini Shakti literally rewires the body, it rewires the nervous system. And one of the reasons that we experience heat and physical movements is because Kundalini has mingled or mixed with the pranas in the body, the vital air forces in the body, and is moving through the body, through the vital airs. The second way that Kundalini is awakened, and this is was my initial experience, and I have found that it's the experience of many, many, many people that that I know. It's the awakening of Kundalini in the heart. Kundalini in the heart is called Chit Kundalini. Chit means conscious. So it's actually the awakening of the consciousness of the innate divine intelligence in the body. It's very often experienced as a sense of expansion in the heart, of love in the heart, of opening in the heart. That was essentially my experience when I first received Kundalini Awakening. When Kundalini awakens at this level, and again, I know this is the experience of many of you here in this class, you experience both an entrance into non-personal love. You may experience the awakening of devotional love, the love for the divine in a form or in the formless state. But you also experience the awakening of insight and knowing. One of the really interesting aspects of Kundalini awakening is that when this Shakti starts to function in you, you get talents, skills, understandings, insights that you never had before. And again, many of you have had this experience. I have a friend who, when he had his first Kundalini experience, he just entered the graduate political science program at MIT. And he had previously attended an experimental college, a progressive school with no grades. And he was taking an advanced class. There was a required class in advanced calculus, which involved calculations that he had no idea how to do. And as he was sitting there and taking the exam, intuitions arose as to the correct answers to the problems. And he wrote the answers without any of the work that, you know, that you're supposed to do on calculus exams to solve the problem. He just knew the answers. He got a grade of 99 out of a possible 100 on the exam. He had the highest grade in the class. It was completely the result of the intuition that had arisen with the awakening of Kundalini. And he tells really quite remarkable experiences of knowing what the professor was going to say before the professor said it, being able to ace exams. This early experience of awakening, this kind of very dramatic early experience of awakening, which I think also many of you have had your own version of this, it often occurs in the first weeks and months after the awakening, and then actually begins to diminish, which happens because Kundalini has very often begun to go deeper and work on us in deeper ways. So the results, the fruits, are not quite so obvious. And one of the reasons why it's so important to meditate, to chant, to do spiritual practice when Kundalini is awakened, and which, you know, it's one of the advantages of having an awakening in the context of a spiritual or yogic, in the context of a class or with a teacher, or in a situation where you're encouraged to practice, is because when you're practicing, when you're meditating, when you're chanting, it actually allows the awakened Shakti to go deeper and deeper and to begin to permeate your not only your physical being, but also your psychic being, your psychological your being, and open you spiritually. And when you don't practice, when you don't meditate, when you don't work with the Shakti, give Kundalini the chance to move within you and purify you on a deeper level, then very often the Shakti will simply not exactly go back to sleep, though it does in some people, but it will simply begin working in a much slower and, let's say, more mundane way. And, you know, very often I meet people who've had very strong Kundalini awakenings and Kundalini experiences that may have happened 15 or 20 or 30 years ago. And at a certain point, you know, kind of lost it, lost their connection to it, lost interest in their practice. And very often it's because they didn't practice, they didn't meditate, they didn't turn in and pay attention to it. So the awakening of the heart, the awakening of Chit Kundalini, can bring with it a very, very powerful, expansive love and a visceral, almost animal awareness of your kinship with others. Sometimes even the recognition of your kinship with trees and with the earth itself. It really is the awakening of your ability to experience non-local reality, as they say these days, to intuit that you don't just exist inside the body, but that you're connected to or even present with beings and ideas and understandings that are utterly non-local. So and very much of the general awakenings that occur in the spiritual world are awakenings of Chit Kundalini, of this, the awakening of your connection to deeper non-local consciousness through the heart. So please find a seat that's comfortable and upright. Allow the breath to flow easily and naturally with the sense that it's you're being breathed by Kundalini Shakti, that you're being breathed by the life force energy of the universe. And with the next inhalation, allow your attention to settle in the area of the Muladhara chakra, just in front of the base of the spine. And this time, have the recognition of the presence of this chakra. And I'm going to describe it to you. As I describe it, you may visualize it or simply allow the description to bring your awareness, your attention, more deeply into this center. Around your perineum is a square of golden yellow. It's literally the base of your body, the base of your posture. Around this golden square are four bright red petals. Each of these petals is made of a different form of bliss. So in your awareness as the breath flows in, you sense yourself seated, as it were, in the center of the square of the Muladhara chakra, with four bright red petals, each of them holding a unique form of bliss. And in the center of the square is a pillar-shaped form, which is known as a lingam. It's a form of Shiva. It's a small pillar-shaped stone. Actually, it's not a stone, of course. It's made of light. It's made of white light. And coiled around it 3.5 times is the Kundalini Shakti as a coiled spring of golden light. You inhale and exhale with awareness of this part of your body. And as you may feel energy arising in this part of your body with the meditation, with your next inhalation, you imagine the spring of Kundalini and the energy that you may feel in this chakra rising into the slender channel called the Sushumna Nadi that runs just in front of the base of the spine, just in front of the spinal column. This light flows into the Sushumna Nadi as if into a tube. And inhaling, you allow this light, this energy, which is like a laser beam, to rise up through the Sushumna Nadi, through this channel, into the area of your second chakra, in the bowl of the pelvis. Inhale and exhale, feeling it there. And then allow the energy with the next inhalation to rise up to the area of the third chakra, the Manipura chakra, the chakra of jewels. It's called the city of jewels, in the area of the navel. Inhaling and exhaling. Feel its presence in the area of the navel. And now, with the next inhalation, have the sense that you're drawing this energy up into the heart. And as the energy, the laser light of Kundalini, flows up through this channel that runs parallel to the spinal column, right in front of the spinal column, as it rises into the heart, you recognize that in the center of the heart, towards the back, there is a flame. And this flame is the light of the soul, which is seated in the heart. And as you allow the thread of Kundalini Shakti to find itself in the heart, you feel the energy that has flowed up from the base of the spine. You feel it gathering in the flame. It's as though the energy of Kundalini has kindled the flame in your heart. And you may visualize it, you may see it, or you may simply be aware of its presence as a feeling of energy in the heart, as a feeling of warmth in the heart. But the breath is now flowing in and out, flowing in and down to the heart. And the exhalation allows the flame to glow and grow. And for some of you, you may notice that it doesn't want to stay confined in the body. It wants to flow out the back, flow out the front, flow up through the head. And if that happens, you allow that. But your focus, your attention is on the flame that lives inside the heart chakra, just in that place at the back of the heart, in front of the spinal column, inside your subtle body. With your awareness in the heart, with your awareness of the flame in the heart, ask yourself, who am I really? Just introduce the question. Not expecting an answer, not inviting an answer. Not saying it as a mantra, just allowing that query, that inquiry to arise in the heart, as though you're asking the flame in the heart and the Kundalini Shakti to give you that insight. Who am I really? Or just, who am I? Be aware of the flame, the presence of Shakti in your heart. This brings our first session on Kundalini Shakti to a close, although I encourage you to sit for a while. You'll be receiving a homework assignment with the practices that we've done tonight, and also a contemplation, an inquiry. I'm very, very happy to be present with you tonight and to be having this sacred conversation. And may we all be deeply blessed by our practice, by our engagement with the inner energy of evolution known as Kundalini Shakti, by our intention, and by our wish for the welfare of all beings. And we close by offering our practice, asking that it be of benefit to all that lives. Namaste. Have a beautiful evening. And please know that the listserv is active, and we love to hear what's going on. I'll answer any questions that you might have on the listserv. And if there's something that feels too private for the listserv, you can send it to me, Sally@sallykempton.com, and I'll answer it privately. So, again, have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week, and stay in touch. Good night.